storms before midnight, then a slight chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Southwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Northeast wind 3 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60, continuing on through until Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. My co-host is Tracy Ivey, and this is NAMI's Hour. NAMI is a compliments at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And as I've been told many times, the commute from the kitchen to the dining room is real great. You know, you don't run into a lot of traffic. What we try to do is we try to help people who either have a mental illness get the right services that they need, or families who have someone in their family who has a mental illness to understand what it's like to have the illness and to get them help that they may need, either counseling or what have you. We do it in various ways. We have what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course, and it covers everything from medications, side effects of medications, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like being the person with the illness. We also have support groups. There's one at once a month, every the third Thursday of every month. And it's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington from 7 to 8:30, and sometimes they run till 9 o'clock, depending how much people talk. But it's all free. There's no charge. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the class or go to the support group. If you have any questions or anything at all, you can dial 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We have a lady who checks the phone at least twice a day. We don't man it 24/7, but we promise we will answer your call and get back to you. Today, we are very privileged and honored to have three lovely people here. We have Greg. Am I saying this right? Rurik?
Yes.
Okay. And Greg is the supervisor for the Opioid Overdose Recovery Program. We have Ryan Leslie, who's a navigator for the Opioid Overdose Recovery Program. And we have Stacy Van Auken.
Yes.
All right, I said it right. And Stacy is a peer support specialist. These folks are all from Hunterdon Behavioral Health at the Hunterdon Medical Center. And I want to thank you all for taking the time to come here and, you know, be on the show. Okay, I'm going to start with Greg. Okay.
Okay.
Who does this program serve, and are there age limits to it?
Good question, Larry. There are no age limits. We will serve anybody who presents in the emergency room and is reversed from an opiate overdose.
Okay. So that means anyone?
Yes.
Okay. Ryan, I have to ask,
Yeah. What
does a navigator do?
Besides
navigate a ship, I mean, you know what?
A patient navigator actually got some. I had a lot of people ask me that when I told them when I got this job. They kind of would make fun of me for it, but thought that I needed like nautical equipment
right.
or so or whatnot.
I'm not trying to make funny. I just don't know what a navigator does.
Patient navigator is actually a very good title because when people come into the emergency room and they've had an overdose. A lot of times one of the biggest things is it takes a lot of navigating the system. You're making phone calls, getting on waiting lists, knowing where to go, knowing who takes your insurance, knowing who doesn't.
Right.
There's a lot of, quote, navigation of the system that needs to be done, and that's my job. My job is to know that system and know kind of where to go first, what direction to go in, what might be appropriate in terms of insurance, in terms of what level of treatment this person might qualify for or need. Also with self-help groups in the
okay.
area, I know a lot about them and
You're talking about East Main Street there, 52 East Main Street, the self-help group?
There's that, and there's 12-step groups that I know a lot about right. in the area. I'm in recovery myself, so I know about that part of it.
Well, you're speaking from experience.
Experience and professionally. I mean, I've been...
Well, yeah, no, I understand that.
Well. But so, hey, I both
right.
Both
well, I will tell you this. I found that after almost 20 years working with NAMI and having our own quote-unquote hell that we went through with our son for almost 11 years, 12 years, and when we speak at support groups that we run, the people relate better because they know that we've been there, you know. So I would imagine in your case, being in recovery yourself and, you know, not only being professional but also from the other aspect, that it gets across a little easier. Because like I know when I talk to people and they say, well, you know, this and such happened, and I say, well, this is what happened with my son. And they go, oh, you're, you know, like you're involved. Yeah, you know, my son spent almost a little over 3 years in a state hospital. So, I mean, I know about that, you know, and
it's
I know.
Like the basis of our program, because, I mean, the first responders are peer support specialists. So they're all people who have been through, too, like Stacy.
Okay. See, now I'm going to have to ask Stacy. All right, Stacy, what, just explain your role in the, I'm going to use the thing, OORP. Okay. Yeah. ORP.
So I
acronyms, I hate them. But
there's a lot to learn, too.
Yeah.
So I am on call. I will receive a call from the medical center when a person is reversed with Narcan. So then I go and meet the...
What does reversed with Narcan mean to those who may not be familiar with that?
They have suffered an overdose, and the Narcan revives them.
Right. I know what Narcan is, but people out there may not, you know. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's just like, you know, sometimes some of the listeners are not familiar with, you know, the vocabulary or whatever, so I just try to, you know, get it down to... That, you know, so they understand.
Okay. So I go and meet the person in the ED, and I try and engage them in recovery. I am a woman in recovery. I tend to share my experience, strength, and hope with them that recovery is possible. These people tend to be at the lowest part of their life, right. of their addiction at this time. So I really try and bring hope. Like I said, I share my experience. I went through the emergency room at Hunterdon, so I tend to show them, you know, this was the bed that I was in. I've been here. I've been exactly where you're at.
Right.
And, you know,
again, you're speaking from personal experience, which helps, you know. Absolutely, you know.
What is a next step? How many different places can they end up after?
How many different places? There's a lot of options. It's just getting them to see their options, that the overdose isn't the end. There's many places that they can go. They will start working with Ryan if they accept services with us. I personally stay in contact with the person. I call them a couple times a week, more if needed, you know, if they're you know, really engaged. I could talk to them a couple times a day if that's what they need. That's what they require. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do many people end up going to rehab right away or going home or what's?
So I have referred a few people to treatment with the help of Ryan here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's also 12-step groups that they can go to.
Right.
Not every single person that we meet is going to want to go into treatment. So there's multiple pathways of recovery.
Sure.
And that's what I, you know, I open their eyes to that.
Sure.
That it's not always treatment.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in a lot of cases, in some cases, the person might be, with, you know, be in our emergency room and be referred to us, and I'll get the information, and I'll call them, and I can't get a hold of them for whatever reason. They're not ready or whatnot, and we might see them again. And at that point, they might be ready, you know? So And some people I've had call me a couple weeks later after, you know, Stacy or another peer support has seen them initially. I've called them. We haven't really gotten anywhere. And then kind of out of the blue, I'll get a call, and I'll make a follow-up call, and they'll answer. And they'll be like, they'll start telling me what's – so it's really open-ended in terms of like how we can meet them where they're at, because it's
– Well, I'm wondering how soon after they overdose can they be released from the hospital? How long is – Do they get released right away from the emergency room within a few hours, or do they usually stay longer?
It depends on the case. It can be as little as a few hours, or they may be, if they have medical complications, they may be admitted to the ICU or to a hospital as well. And that's actually what was happening historically. People were being brought to emergency rooms throughout New Jersey. They were being revived and discharged with no linkage, no support, no services. So New Jersey started the opioid overdose recovery program to help build a safety net and a recovery support, so these people weren't just walking out of the emergency room and then perhaps showing up again the next day or even a few hours later.
Is this a federal or a state program?
We are funded through a grant from the state, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and we're actually working in cooperation ourselves and Freedom House formed an affiliation agreement to provide the peers 24/7 in the emergency room. So some counties are only doing it from Thursday to Sunday. Because you tend to see more overdoses
over
on the weekend.
Yeah.
Here at Hunterdon, we're doing it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Do you find that some of your clients, for lack of a better word, also have a mental health issue that caused them to OD? Because I know people who have a mental health issue, and for whatever reason, the pain that they're going through, they rather either cut themselves because they feel that it, you know, that hurt is better than the one that there's in their head, or they use alcohol or opioids or whatever. Do you find that to be a case in some cases? Not every case, obviously, but...
Yeah, definitely in some cases there's co-occurring issues, there's mental health issues. We'll do, as part of Ryan's role as a navigator, he'll do follow-up assessments for anxiety, for depression, for general well-being. And his role is to provide warm handoffs and link them to all those services,
right.
Social services, if they need insurance coverage,
right.
Housing. Education support if they want to get back into college once they're in recovery. He'll provide that full wraparound intensive case management services to the client.
Go ahead.
Is this in every county in New Jersey? You said we were one of the last. Have all the counties got this opioid overdose recovery program?
Yes, we were one of the last. It started in 2016 with five counties that had the highest overdose rates throughout New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And in March of 2018, we started our program here in Hunterdon County.
Did you start it because of the large number of overdoses that you're seeing in the
No, I think it was
center?
The state's goal to go statewide
okay.
with it eventually. I think they
okay.
focused on the areas closer probably to Newark and Philly
okay.
where they had higher rates of overdoses.
Okay. Ryan, would you explain a little bit, the average day, okay? If you get a call, there's someone in the OR, ER who had an overdose problem, what happens from that point on?
Usually, if I come in and I find out about an overdose, usually they've happened at night and one of our peer supports has met with that person.
Okay. So maybe I should be asking Stacy that question.
Well, no, like I'll get that. So they'll They'll meet with them. Yeah, that's the first step. So, yeah, if you,
okay,
if you want to do the
first step. What do you do then? You get a call that somebody's in the OR.
ER.
I keep saying OR. You know, like they're going to operate on it, you know, but in the emergency room.
So step by step, I'll get a call from the hospital dispatch, and I have 90 minutes to report to the ED. I go and then speak with the charge nurse, get a little bit of basic information regarding the patient. And from there, I'll go into the room. Sometimes they're not feeling the best because they've just been revived.
Yeah.
So I kind of either just wait it out or just start right away. I'll introduce myself. I'll kind of get their history, where they're at mentally, where they are in their addiction too. If they had just come out of treatment, I talk about what triggers them, or was it the urge to use again, and then we kind of just bond. I need to find a point in my story that's going to relate to the person that I'm seeing.
Right.
So I think that's really important, having that connection with the person. So that was the basic.
All right. Now, after you meet with them, what happens then?
They would meet with Ryan.
Okay.
Or even if I'm there and Ryan's in the office, I'll call him and we'll kind of talk to the patient together.
Okay.
Now, we're going to need to take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We were just talking about what the process is if someone comes into the emergency room, and Stacy, what you know, a peer specialist does first. And so you were saying something, Ryan, that interacts with what Stacy does. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll join a peer support specialist in the emergency department and meet with the person together if I'm there and available. I'm generally a 9-to-5-er, but that can vary. So if I come in the morning and I'll have paperwork from the peer supports, we'll fill out some paperwork and I'll see that we had an overdose last night.
Okay.
And usually my first step is to call the peer support and I'll kind of just talk about what their experience was, what their impressions were, whether this person. I mean, everyone has agreed, but some are more receptive than others. And sometimes, you know, they'll go to a medical room. And I've actually found, obviously I don't like anybody going to a medical room and having medical issues. But if I know that they're in the hospital, I can go to their room.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, and there's, you know, they're generally sitting down and I can talk to them. I can have a really good conversation about what's been going on. So I'll get the paperwork, but usually I'll be calling them. You know, and I'll hopefully get them on the phone, and I'll ask them. I'll tell them who I am, and that they met my coworker the previous night, and tell them about what we do. And I generally try to get a face to face. That's where I have the most luck. But also, some people are immediately like, "Yes, I need treatment. I gotta go." Some people will not answer. Some people don't have phones that are working. Sometimes the parents will answer. And I'm really trying to get that face to face with them and just kind of sit down with them and have a good talk about recovery and where they want to go next and tell them what we can offer.
I know it's kind of difficult, but I don't want to ask for a percentage, but if you had a group of people that you serviced in a period of, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, how many do you feel, you know, just argumentatively would accept your program and go into treatment as opposed to hell with that, I don't want any part of it, I'm, you know, blah, 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 which NAMI has seen many times, you know, when they have a dual diagnosis of mental health and either alcoholism or drugs. And we don't need help. I don't need help. I don't need you. Blah, 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 blah. You know, how many, and others who say, okay, yeah, I could use the help, you know, like you were saying. So what is the, do you find more that want the help than not want it?
Yeah, I think there's a spectrum there. I mean,
yeah,
on either end of the spectrum, we do have a refusal form. So there's people that are in the ED who, as soon as the peer support comes, they say, I don't want anything. And that's a refusal. But almost of everybody we've dealt with have kind of accepted services.
Okay.
And I'll talk with them. Some of them, I can't give percentages. I mean, Greg has done stats.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not asking for percentages.
But it's a spectrum. I mean, I'd say it's rare that I get someone who's like, I want to go to detox now. Like, let's go. Although, we've had people who have had second overdoses. And on their second overdose, they're much more inclined to say, yes, I need to go.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
Some people just want to, you know, some people will tell me, yes, I want recovery, but they don't want to go to a facility. They'll just want to go to 12-step groups, and I can try to help them in that any way I can with that. Some want an intensive outpatient where, you know, they just overdosed. I might think they need detox and inpatient, but they want outpatient. Some people want to go, but their insurance might not. They don't have insurance.
What happens to those people? That don't have insurance.
That's another part of my job, is to know how to get state funding, if they qualify, who to get in touch with.
Okay.
Generally, there's a lot of state funding for people in New Jersey who don't have insurance.
All
right. I think Greg wants to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that our philosophy as a program is to meet the client where they're at So, you know, what their definition of recovery is. They may not be want treatment now, but we'll continue to work with them and support them until they are. We're in it for the long haul.
Okay.
They may not be ready that night
right.
or that week after the overdose reversal, but we want to support them, what their goals are with these wraparound support services. And when, if they do want treatment, we will. Ryan will do a warm handoff. He'll drive them. He's driven all over the state to drop people off at treatment.
Okay.
But if they don't want treatment, that's okay too. We'll continue to support that until if and when they're ready.
Right.
If so, that time ever comes.
Right.
So I have a question. How easy is it for someone to detox on their own?
I wouldn't say it's easy. It's very uncomfortable. Very,
it can
very
be done.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes. They don't, and they don't want to go through that sickness, that physical withdrawal. And there are, the state has come up with a statewide hotline where we can link them. We can tap into resources throughout the state. And if we have a detox bed, Ryan will drive that person to that bed and drop them off and then pick them up.
Well, because I'm thinking if you mentioned somebody who refuses and just wants, aren't you going to see them maybe within 24 hours?
Could you? A lot of, historically, what they were seeing when people were leaving the emergency rooms mm-hmm. and refusing services, they would see a lot of repeat overdoses, yes.
Right.
That's historically what the state had seen. Hence, they came up with the opiate overdose recovery grant mm-hmm. to try and
okay.
break that cycle.
Okay.
All right, Stacy, you're up. You should have seen her eyes. But are there any services that you don't provide? You know, like there's some that you what you do provide, but is there some that, you know, you have to recommend to other organizations?
For me personally,
yeah.
I don't really get too involved in the services. I would hand that off to Ryan because
okay.
he really navigates the different types of services that the county has. What I can do is get them, if they want to try a 12-step program or their smart recovery, refuge recovery, other types of services,
okay.
quote unquote, that I can refer them to.
Okay. All right.
Stacy.
Ryan. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You mentioned before you need 90 minutes to get here. So you're not physically stationed at the hospital?
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
So there are the other peer recovery specialists, same thing?
We're all on call. So once okay. the ED calls us, that's when we'll go to the to the ED. Typically, I like to get there as quick as possible.
Sure.
I don't want the patient to start getting sick.
Yeah.
And not want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to get there right away, as quick as I can.
So are you on call at 3 in the morning? Are there night shift people who
there
cover that?
There is night shift. I'm on call from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then our other peer support specialists are 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Ryan, now, some of the services mm-hmm. you provide...
Yes.
All right, you help them get into programs. And mm-hmm. so. Do you recommend psychiatrists if you think they need it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm not a therapist.
No, I understand, but...
So, and that's, I make that clear to people that, you know, there is a, I guess there's always a somewhat of a counseling component to whenever you're working with people.
Right.
But one thing I've talked, there's two main areas for me that I find that I definitely... can't ethically advise on. And I mean, and a big issue, a big thing that's happening in New Jersey is medication-assisted treatment, like Suboxone or mm-hmm. Vivitrol or those types of things. And people might ask me, you know, if they should do it or they shouldn't do it, or if they. And basically, I try to tell them. I tell them a little bit of my experiences professionally with people, but ultimately, it's up to them to talk to a mental,
right.
an addictions
right.
professional. About what might be, or a medical professional, about what may be right for them. Another issue that's really big in our field is trauma. So if somebody tells me that, you know, I present that to them, and I try to have I try to encourage people to open up if they think that there might be something there. And if there is, I will try to help them find the appropriate counseling or psychiatry.
Okay.
Things like that. So.
Are there limits to your program? You know, like there's only certain things you can do or can't do? Anyone?
Well, our limits are that we don't do therapy. We're a case management,
right.
intensive
right.
case management. We don't do psychiatric interventions.
Right.
But we have the advantage of the crisis center in the Hunterdon Medical
mm-hmm.
Center.
Right.
So if somebody is experiencing a mental health crisis, we can refer to and inform, suggest to the doctors, the treatment team in the emergency room to get crisis services involved.
Okay.
Yes.
Either Stacy or Ryan, either one. What would be a day like for a client? You know, you've got called to the OR. I keep saying the OR, the emergency room. You spoke to them initially, okay? And let's say they wanted treatment. What would the following days be like? I understand you called them. Stacy, do you visit them again, or?
It depends on the situation. If they want to see me, I definitely will do that. We could go to a meeting or meet for coffee or just, go for a walk.
Right.
Go for ice cream.
There you go.
Anything to keep them busy.
Okay.
Right.
And kind of out of their own way until they get into treatment.
Okay.
I'd like to ask about the 12-step programs available in our area. How many times a day are they in our? Are they generally Narcotics Anonymous? Is that what it would be, or what?
There's Alcoholics Anonymous and NA.
Uh huh. Right.
Meetings all day, every day, really.
Right.
So you can look online for the meeting schedule.
Mm-hmm. So someone really could be kept busy if they.
Oh, definitely.
Going to meetings if they really needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any clients or potential clients who are not eligible for your program?
Well, I mean, the main criteria for whether I or we can work with someone is that they have an overdose in our emergency
mm-hmm.
department.
Okay.
So, you know, we have had other departments kind of want us to work with maybe people who have substance abuse issues. Maybe it's not opiates, or maybe they haven't had an overdose. We really need, our grant kind of states that we need to work with people who have overdosed. That being said, you know, there's people who have had overdoses and then they've come back again and wound up in a medical, you know, and that's
right.
when I've got.
Right.
Lara, we have had peers come in and get called in and there wasn't an opiate overdose, and we've continued to work with that person, although that's the exception.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had a lot of requests from various agencies, the hospital, the prosecutor's office, to expand our services.
I understand the prosecutor is, you know, big on not so much jailing people, but getting them help.
Treatment, yes.
Yeah, because his background is mental health.
Yes.
And so, you know.
And actually, as a part of that request, beginning October 15th, we're going to expand our intervention services. So if the police go out anywhere in Hunterdon County and reverse an overdose, and that consumer refuses to come to the emergency room, they can do that.
Right.
The police will be able to call our peers, and our peers will then go within Hunterdon County to that residence and attempt an intervention, just like they do in the emergency room.
Right.
So that's an expansion, which is pretty unique mm-hmm. to Hunterdon County.
How many peer specialists do you have?
We have six. We have four that are employed through the hospital, and we have two that are Freedom House employees.
Okay.
So we have six total. Yes.
So
I was going to say, if it was only, you know, Stacy and, you know, one other person, what was his name, John, you know, that'd be kind of tough, you know. So,
right.
But if a peer is going to a home, are they going alone generally?
No,
or they...
I've spent the last few months working out details. They can either go with Ryan or Navigator, or we've arranged for a police to secure the setting.
Okay.
Sure,
that's
so
yeah,
they can
sense.
Do
logical.
Their intervention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if there is police, there will not be charges filed for somebody that when the police or a prosecutor is there, a detective is there, mm-hmm. when a opiate overdose peer mm-hmm. specialist is trying to do an intervention.
That's good.
Yeah.
How long does your opioid overdose recovery program work with its consumers?
Like 6 months down the road? Are you still in
even
contact
minimum
with some people?
Eight weeks to up to unlimited.
Definitely.
2 years.
Okay.
The grant's a 2 years. It's a 2 year grant right now. Ryan will continue to work with them as long as they want.
Okay.
But a minimum 8 weeks.
Okay.
I keep calling them until they tell me not to.
Until they get tired of hearing from you.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell people that. I say, yeah. You know, if you don't want me to call you, you tell me because this is what I do. This is what I love to do. I will follow up with you and just see how you're doing. You know,
right.
Most people don't mind hearing from me. I mean, you know, I don't think I've turned many people, anybody off to the program.
Tell them about RAP. You work with
RAP plans?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do RAP plans, which are recovery wellness, wellness recovery action plans.
Right.
Where we identify triggers and ways to stay well. I'm sure with NAMI you're familiar with RAP plans.
Right.
And like Greg said, assessments. I have a case management kind of planning form, and we'll try to figure out motivational interviewing is a big thing that we are really try to do, which is a way of interacting with people
sure.
in an open-ended way and really bringing out strengths and trying to, like Stacy was saying about the instilling hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the people I've worked with have been living a certain way for a long time. And when they live that way for a long time, it's very hard to see the other possibilities that may exist
right.
that they're not aware of. It's just kind of out of their and part of what I see as my job is to just kind of to instill that kind of, to assure them that those possibilities, there's many possibilities that are right here, and you know, the peer supports have recovered, a lot of other people have recovered, and to make it like put that in their consciousness that they can recover,
right?
And that's possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There's a whole world out, you know.
Well, that's what we do with NAMI with people. You know, when you say, "Well, look at Bruce Springsteen," he just came out and said he suffers from severe depression because he wrote the song "Depressed," and after that he came out. There's so many others, you know, Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon. He suffers from severe depression and credits his wife for getting him through training because she would force him to take the meds.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's divorcing her for whatever reason. I don't know, but he is. But, it's just all these people, and they went on with their lives in spite of their illness. And it's the same thing here, you know. I wanted to ask Stacy, do you find that their overdoses in most cases are just an accident, they just took too much, or is it they're trying to end their life?
No, it would be an accident.
Okay.
I haven't come across anyone who was using to end their life.
Yeah.
Accidental overdose. The drugs that are out there right now, you know, are not good. They have fentanyl in them, which is, you know, deadly.
Yeah.
Just
right.
the smallest amount will, you know.
I was just going to ask about that. Does that still work on the fentanyl?
Narcan,
yeah.
I've heard mixed stories about that. It does work. It doesn't work. We've had success with here at Hunter County with the Narcan.
Mm-hmm.
So they possibly need something stronger, mm-hmm. yeah, which isn't yet available.
Yeah, and I would just say if somebody did share with Ryan or us that it was an intentional overdose, then we'd probably incorporate some of our other programs that are available through Hunterdon Behavioral Health to make that a priority intervention and come up with a joint plan. And then we would pick up our case management. Once, if somebody told us that it was an intentional overdose, Ryan would pick up and Stacey on the back end was to make sure, you know, that they weren't trying to end their life with this by suicide.
Right.
Yeah. And if someone does wind up in a mental health facility, I will still kind of follow up.
Yes.
And I could try to figure out, hopefully I can meet with them, I can meet with their counselors, we can talk about what's the next step. You know, it might be going to a mental health facility into a drug and alcohol treatment facility. So we try to, I'm trying to collaborate with people and have that long-term follow-up.
well, I know that.
Navigate.
I know when, you know, in NAMI, it's very difficult when someone has an alcohol or a drug addiction along with a mental health issue, because now you're looking at two very, very severe illnesses, quote unquote. And which one do you try to cure first, or not cure per se, but correct first? And it's very difficult, you know, because they're both, you know, on the bad end of the spectrum, you know. And so it's, you know, I know that a lot of times not me personally, but people that we deal with and who we recommend to various organizations, they will try to help with the addiction first and then go to the mental health issue. And sometimes it's vice versa, depending on the individual. Sometimes they'll go to the mental health issue first and then work with the addiction. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times the addiction, as I think I said earlier, a lot of them have said to us that they do the addiction to get away from the pain of the mental health issue. And, you know, I know when you may remember a couple of years back, I worked Saturday mornings at the emergency services, and I would go down to the to Central and talk to the clients there. And I remember this one man came to me afterwards. He says, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And he was mid-20s, I would guess. And we were talking, and he said, "Oh, I have to show you something." Well, he rolled up his sleeves on both arms. There wasn't a piece of skin that wasn't cut from his wrist to his shoulders on both arms. And I says, "What in the world did you do that?" He says, "I can't take the pain in my head from my so-called mental illness," he called it. And I was like, you know me, Craig, I'm not at a loss for words ever. I was, you know, my mouth dropped, and I was just standing there looking at his arms, and I couldn't believe that he would do this, or anybody would do that. And, you know, it's just so sad, I think. You know, I really do.
Yeah, I've seen a trend. That's a good point, Larry. I've seen a trend in services in treating co-occurring issues at the same time, more now than they did 10 years ago, 15. So they will treat a mental health issue and the addiction simultaneously, where years ago they would say, "Oh, you know, we'll get clean first." So that has kind of shifted over the years. It's good for everybody. That
it is.
I think we're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're very privileged today to have with us Greg Rierich, who is the supervisor for the Opioid Overdose Recovery Program. We have Ryan Leslie, who is a navigator for the program, and he explained what that does, and it doesn't mean navigating a ship. And we have Stacey Van Auken, who is the peer support specialist, and we welcome you all. Thank you so much
for
coming.
Us.
Now, we've been talking about, you know, people in the emergency room who have either OD'd or, you know, have problems with OD. And can you relate any good experience? I mean, well, they're all good experiences if you help someone, but success stories that, you know, you have encountered?
So success stories, they're all success stories because they're still alive.
Exactly.
So that's huge. Yeah.
That's an excellent way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, really.
I heard if there's a heartbeat, there's hope, which, you know.
I like that.
Right. Yeah. So they're all success stories. They made it to the ED. I've worked with a couple people who have been very engaged, that I've talked to a lot, a couple times a week. Getting people into treatment is also, you know, a success story. What else?
Well, look at it this way. You and Ryan are success stories.
Yeah.
And you are too, Larry.
I think being able to share my experience, strength, and hope is huge in getting them to even consider anything at that point. Not only am I trying to spread hope to the person who's overdosed, but also to family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, seeing that recovery is possible and what recovery looks like is huge,
right.
Especially, you know, for somebody who's just...
And it's not always easy.
Recovery?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know.
It's a lot of work. It's daily work.
Exactly.
Mental, physical, spiritual. I'm working on myself daily. And I try and share what I'm doing with the person who's overdosed.
And see, that makes a big difference because you're speaking from experience, as you are, Ryan. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I said earlier, it is so much more powerful to talk to someone when you've lived the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, if I talk to families who his son or daughter or whatever, mother, father, sister, brother, whatever, have a mental health crisis and they crash, I can talk to them because we've been dealing with it for 11 years. And, you know, the last 9 have been great. So it's been 20 years, but, you know, 11, that was pure hell. And, you know, the last 9 have been great. He's got his own apartment for 7 years. He works at BJ's for 3.5 years, takes his meds religiously. So, you know, we are considered a success story. Mm-hmm. Until the next shoe drops, you know, because that could happen at any time. But, you know, like I said, you guys are the success stories, you two. And whoever else you have as peer specialists, they're success stories. Mm-hmm. Because you fought it. Mm-hmm. And probably are still fighting it.
Still fighting it, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need much training to be a peer specialist?
So you just need to be in recovery. Mm-hmm. I have taken some training courses. I took a certified peer recovery specialist course.
Right.
I am still working on my hours and those requirements to get the actual certification, but I've taken a 46-hour course. I'm currently taking an ethics training down in Hamilton. The state requires an ethics training, 3 days. So that's what I'm doing mm-hmm. right now. I like to go to different meetings and hear what other people are doing, see on the state level, on the you know, personal level.
That's awesome. Greg, you had mentioned earlier that something's going to take effect on the 15th.
Yes.
Do you want to reiterate that?
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that if there is a family or a resident within Hunterdon County that experiences an opiate overdose and is reversed with Narcan, and that consumer refuses to come to the emergency room, the police can call our hospital, and we will meet a peer specialist like Stacy or one of our 5 others, and we will attempt our intervention in the community.
That's great.
And then Ryan would pick up like he does
right.
all the others.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's huge. We're really looking forward to that.
You know,
what's something important that we haven't talked about yet that any of you might like to share in terms of this type of work and what you've been doing for the last 6 months? You must have some benchmarks or...
I like to, just as far as success stories, mm-hmm. Like Stacy said, you know, I've had a number of people who, you know, have seen a peer support, and then I've gotten in touch with them and I've met with them. And, you know, sometimes there's a gap where somebody even wants treatment. Mm-hmm. They might be put on a waiting list, and then, you know, they have to call the treatment facility every day to see if there's beds available. And there's that lag where really they don't have any treatment people except, and that's where I feel like I could step in. And I feel like it's a great success when people just want to talk to me and they really want recovery.
Right.
And us being there gives them that link.
Mm-hmm.
And sticking with someone until they do get in.
Right.
And then following up after they get in. You know, I've had a number of people where that's happened. And I know it can be very frustrating to deal with the system for people.
Right.
And that's a big barrier for people.
Sure. Sure.
And to have our program assist them in that, I think, is invaluable. And I've seen it. I mean, I've seen a number of people now. That's what we've done. And we've stuck with them through. And the peer supports keep calling them. So they have this network, like, automatically. And it's great to see people go through treatment. And I have a number of people who have come through early, and now they're working, and they have, you know, months
right.
in recovery,
right.
and they're doing great, you know. And
yeah.
and sometimes at that point, they don't feel like they need us anymore, and that's fine, you know.
Yeah,
but,
that's fine.
And
now, let me interrupt for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
If they say that, after so many months, they don't need you anymore, and they go on their merry way,
yeah.
can they come back?
Absolutely. And I generally, if somebody tells me that, I ask them, you know, well, that's fine. You know, do you mind if I follow up with you in 2 weeks or a month and to see how you're doing? And most of them all say, oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And then we see what happens.
So it is an open door that they can come back.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, no, that's great. You know, now, is there any, I have it here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Is there If someone wanted more information or anything like that, is there a phone number or a website they can go to?
I can give you my phone number and email.
Okay.
My phone number is 908-458-0487. That's my my cell phone. And
why don't you give it again in case they're still writing?
908-458-0487. And I could also be emailed at rleslie, that's R-L-E-S-L-I-E, at hhsnj.org.
No navigator in there?
No.
Oh, gee, wow. why don't you give it again, your email address?
It's rleslie, R-L-E-S-L-I-E, at hhsnj.org.
That new...
And that was Ryan speaking, just so we're clear
Ryan.
On that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The new websites for people at the hospital is like, you know, I had to change half my computer, you know. But, you know, what you were saying before, and we've only got a couple more minutes, so, but how it's very difficult for a person to be successful because it's still hard, you know. I smoked for many years, at least 2 packs a day. 28 years ago, I quit. And the only reason I quit was because they put me on an operating table, turned me upside down, scraped polyps off my vocal cords, and told me that was the only time they could do it. After that, they'd have to take it out, and I'd have to talk through this thing in my throat. With my big mouth, that wasn't happening. So, but point being, someone lights up a Marlboro right now, I have to walk away because I can still be attracted because that's what I smoked. And so I mean, it's not the same thing as being, you know, opioid induced, but it is similar because smoking is an addiction too, you know. And go ahead.
One important thing that I think in recovery is changing people, places, and things. If you have triggers at a spot, a road, a song, you really need to let go of that
definitely.
To have a successful recovery.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
So if you know that the person who's going to be released is going to go right back to that environment, how much can you help them?
Well, you can definitely still help them.
Yeah.
Being in contact with them, try and fill up their time, as I had mentioned before. You know, sometimes you can't avoid the triggers.
Yeah.
To the best of your ability.
Yeah.
So.
Rap plans.
Wellness recovery action plan. We're in it for the long haul for that, which it works as a great relapse prevention plan for people long term.
Well, I really thank you all for coming, taking the time out to come. I really enjoyed having you on, and you'll have to come back, you know, down the road. To tell us more of how you're doing it and so on and so forth.
Love to.
And I know Stacy would love to come back.
Huh? Yeah,
she's happy now. It's
you
over.
You survived your radio debut. Did great.
Did really well. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Thank you both.
And thank you. We do appreciate it. And,
you're welcome. Thanks for having
Ryan,
us.
Ryan, it's just awesome what you all are doing. And
thanks.
Don't get a big head, Greg. But seriously, you know, you're helping people, and that's what it's all about, you know. And the more people we can help, the better it is, you know. So thank you again. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We may or may not be here next week. We're not sure because it is Columbus Day. So if not, we'll be here in 2 weeks. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. Have a good week.
USA Radio News.
Monday at the White House, President Trump held a press conference in the Rose Garden. The president discussed trade, and then the topic turned to Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
I feel badly for all parties. I feel badly for everybody. I feel badly for our country. This is so bad for our country. But I will tell you, I watched those senators on the Democrat side, and I thought it was a disgrace, and partially because I know them. I know them too well, and you know what? They are not angels. My White House will do whatever the senators want. I'm open to whatever they want.
A shorthanded Supreme Court began its new term today with 8 justices rather than 9. The court does have over 40 cases to rule on during this 9-month calendar year, including an antitrust case against Apple. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site.